Will you stand firm in your faith as our culture implodes? Letter to the American Church, the latest bestseller from Eric Metaxas, begs the church to defend the voiceless and to speak against the powers of our day that silence the cry for freedom. Metaxas inspires Christians to step into the calling God has placed on our lives at this pivotal point in history. Now is the time to champion the truth against a hostile culture. Get your copy of Letter to the American Church, available now at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 24th day of March. I don't know. Is this the Ides of March? It may be the Ides of March. I don't know. But anyhow, folks, and tonight we have, of course, our producer, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
I got to tell you guys this because Ron and Big John, I hope you don't change your attitude, or I hope you still like Craig after you find out. But Craig went to a concert
with a mosh pit.
I don't know if it have a mosh pit or not. Okay, but he went to a concert.
It was fun.
All right, very
He's
good.
Not in jail.
So I'd rather go to jail than go to a concert.
Hey, everyone was safe.
Okay. All right. And I got to be quiet because McTurnan don't know what a concert is, okay? And we have here live in the studio none other than, well, that Radical Ron.
Good evening, everyone.
And then way out there, these are all parts of the Courageous Christian Resistance Ministry here, the mighty men of the Christian Resistance. Way out in Texas, we have none other than that famous Big John McTurnan.
Well, thank you, Pastor Ernie, and God bless you. God bless all our listeners, and God bless today's show.
All righty. Have you ever been to a concert?
Have I been to a concert?
Yeah.
I guess you would say, well, not a rock concert, but the Christian concerts.
All right, very good. Well, listen, don't ever ask me to go to one, to a concert, unless it's a Christian concert. But I don't usually go to many of those. But anyhow, we got a lot to do tonight instead of going to concerts, right? Do you know what the title of the message was? Here's what it was. Protection, Fellowship, and unity for those that Christ died for. Protection, fellowship, and unity for those that Christ died for. So we went through the scriptures and we were taking a good look at, because who Christ died for, okay? And because there's a lot of misconception out there that he died for everybody. But then if he had died for everybody, then everybody would be saved, or God isn't God, right? And so, of course, we went in a lot deeper than that this week. We're telling you what the Bible, because the Bible is very, very specific on who Christ died for. It doesn't stutter. It's very specific. Now, here, the other part of that is God's protection and unity in the church. But why, John, why should we be confident as Christians and not just God's protection, but just confident that God's on the throne, it's in complete control, and we should have nothing to worry about?
Well, a couple things, Pastor Ernie. One is the what the Word says, what the Bible says. And the second, well, actually, I would say three things, or how we see history play out according to the Word, and then how things have transpired in my life by faith, how things have God's backed me up, you know, all through the years. So I don't know if there's anything else, but those three come to mind as why we should have assurance.
All righty. So if you feel that God has spoken to your heart, and you know that, for you're absolute certain, okay, if it was speaking to you, one time I was out at the Killing Center, out at the Bloody Abortion Mill, and I had two men with me out there. One was an older fella who had been in the pro-life movement for a while. Another was a younger guy who came out, he'd been recently. But they were both very dedicated pro-lifers. And the one, you know, he had gone up under the window at the abortion mill, and he starts letting out Tarzan screams, just, you know, like Tarzan, just letting out these huge. And it upset the other fella. You know, the other fella got upset. So I called them both over, I asked them, I said, Bob, why did you do that? Why did you do those Tarzan screams? And he said, the Holy Ghost, I felt the Holy Ghost telling me to do this, moving me to do it. So he said, the Holy Ghost told me. The other guy was standing right there, the older fellow next to me, and he said, I was standing right here, and the Holy Ghost told me to keep my mouth shut. So there you go. But if you have... you know, something that we know, that we feel, it's very real to us. We know it's the Lord speaking to us. We know that those times where we have that peace that passes all understanding, because we're absolute, there's no doubt at all that the Lord has spoken to our heart. But to try to explain that to an unsaved person is a little difficult, huh?
Well, I look at it this way, Pastor Ernie. You know, radio signals are out there all around us. Your show, this is a perfect example, this show. And if you don't have a receiver, you can't pick up those signals, right?
Right.
But if I have a receiver, I can pick up the signal. So when we believe in Jesus Christ, our receiver is turned on. Those that he's not their savior and they have not received him as their savior, they don't have the radio turned on. They can't receive what we can.
All right. Some years ago, I was watching some news on TV. Back in the days when you had braces, they were these big metal braces, and they were showing you this kid. This boy had this mouth full of metal, and he was actually picking up radio signals on his teeth, on his braces there.
Braces, yeah.
And but it's not the same kind of signal you're talking about, is it, John?
No, this isn't. No, that's not the same signal.
let me go. Listen, before Ron came here and got with us, a lot of his friends thought he couldn't read. But since he's been here, you know, they're not saying that anymore. So, Ron, would you read verse 17 out of Isaiah 54?
Okay. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Okay, so he was talking there to the nation of Israel. So how would that apply to us?
Well, I think with basically the assault that we're seeing from our own government at this point, that no matter what they do, it's not going to be enough to overcome them.
Okay, so if we go into the very next chapter, he's speaking to the whole world. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, and you come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. So he's speaking to the whole world, and this is the Messiah, the coming Messiah is called to the world, huh, in Isaiah 55. But you're right. He said, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. But when we see this, then how do we justify all the, every day Christians are being killed all over this world, but they're being martyred more than greater numbers than ever, but it's just not covered by the
media,
so-called mainstream media. Huh? So how does that apply, John? Because we know Christians are being killed every day. So,
well, Pastor Ernie, the scriptures are clear that at some time, at some point, there are going to be martyrs for the world. And martyrs for the Lord in this world. And that's something that we have to be prepared for. That's the way I look at it. And if God is calling us to be martyrs, then he'll give us all the grace and everything that's needed. And the Bible tells us all the blessings that are in store for his martyrs.
So when it says no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, he's not talking about immediate, but long term, isn't he? He's talking about eternally?
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah. Because if a person's martyred for the Lord, there's a crown, there's a special crown in heaven that they receive. They're recognized throughout eternity for dying for the Lord Jesus.
So he goes on, he makes that clear, that every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt rise against, or thou shalt condemn. So God's saying, look, it's not like the courts that we have today. God's saying, look, you can be guaranteed justice. Justice will take place in God. Is justice absolute with God?
Say that again, Pastor.
When he talks about here, he says that, he said, in every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So now, he's talking about actual, real justice. It's not like what we get in our courts today. It's not like what we have in our judicial system today at all, is it?
Right.
So,
notice it says there in that scripture that, you know, our righteousness is of God, of Jesus Christ.
So here now,
we can't be condemned. I mean, because Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we can't be condemned. And I kind of look at all that working out at the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, when the people will be held accountable before God for what they've done to God's people.
All right, let's go over to, you're right, let's go over to 1 John chapter 1. And could you read verses 5 through 7 in 1 John chapter 1?
Was that
1 John 1, verses 5 through 7.
Or is that chapter 5, verse 7?
Let me see. It's 1 John. Let me look here. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7.
All right, let me find it. Hold on.
All right, there you go. It starts with, this then is the passage, or the message.
The message, okay. And then go through chapter 7.
Right, through verse 7, 5.
Okay.
Verses 5 through 7.
This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light, and he is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
All right, so God is the light of what? He's referring to the shining glory. He's referring here to it intellectually, isn't he? The message we have is him that declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So here, he's talking about, in this passage, light of truth, of morality, of holiness, and of guidance, if you go through this passage here that he's referring to. So he says, if we say that we have no fellowship with him and walk in darkness, if we say that we have fellowship, we lie and do not the truth. So here, he's talking about God as the light of truth, isn't he?
Yes.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So here, what is darkness? What is darkness?
Evil, I would say.
Yeah, well, it's evil, but
absence of God.
Okay, do we find any place in Scripture where it refers to God creating darkness?
No, only light.
So, go ahead, John.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. I mean, everything is from him, and darkness, when man fell, Satan fell before man, that had to be the result of that, had to be God's structure. In other words, if you leave the light of God, there's a certain structure you go into, which is darkness. But God created everything, Pastor. Right?
And so if we go...
There has to be a place to put Satan. There has to be a place that he operates in and fits in until the final lake of fire. Man, when he rebelled against God in the garden, he went into that darkness where Satan is.
Okay, so if we...
Am I making myself clear about that?
Yeah, I think... Let's take the primary application, the first application of that, Genesis 1. We see that God had created light, but he didn't create darkness because what darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is the absence of light.
Exactly.
And so as we look at it in a physical term that you might say, and so how much light does it take to chase away a little darkness?
Oh, just a little flashlight.
Well, do you know you can see a lit match out there. When we were in the military, it's one of the things we did in night training, when we did night training. You can see a lit match with our naked eye for a mile away. This was an amazing thing, okay? And so here, it just shows you, though, a little bit of light chases away a lot of darkness. And we know in God, okay, he is only light. There's no imperfection in that light, is there?
It's perfect.
It's
Everything
perfect.
About God is perfect. He's perfect holiness, perfect truth, perfect love. Every attribute of God is perfect.
And so other things can appear that way. I mean, it can appear that it's pure light without any shadow in it, without any turning of shadow in it. And that's what Scripture said. That's what God is. And I remember when I was just married, I got our first apartment, and I was in there painting. And at nighttime, we had I took one of the big lamps, the big pole lamps, and had it right in the middle of the room and took the shade off so I could get and had the brightest bulb that we could find. But when I would turn that light, even though if you look at the light, you didn't see any darkness, but when you turned it up on the wall, you saw a shadow. And you can see all the imperfections in that bulb. But with God, there's no imperfection at all. It's pure light, isn't it?
Right.
And so he says here, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, you know, when you say that Christ died for everybody, or did he die for those who was the blood applied to?
And when they're walking in the light.
Okay. In other words, was the blood applied to everybody?
No.
No. And so his blood was only applied to those what that had called upon his name, huh?
Yes.
And that were saved.
Exactly.
Okay. See, the reason I've been emphasizing this lately, there's been more out there talking about how God died for everybody. Even the Pope is making these statements out there. In other words, that everybody's going to heaven. Nobody's going to hell.
I think Joel Osteen said 99.5, or so there's...
Yeah, more and more of the prosperity preachers are talking that, you know, then everybody's going to heaven.
Yeah.
Okay, and so here, and people need to know the truth.
Well,
let's go.
Pastor Ernie, you know, in light of that, is everybody repenting?
No, not everybody's repentance, but you see that
right.
Again.
Right. That's part of salvation, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name, you know, in Jerusalem and starting in Jerusalem.
A lady who...
That's a prerequisite for salvation, or part of it is repentance of sin.
Yeah, a lady sent me a video, a DVD, of one of these prosperity preachers out there. He's one of the newer ones on the scene. A real, you know, show business type guy. And he was totally, I mean, totally twisting, spinning, and perverting the scripture to show you that repentance is not necessary for salvation. And
what do they call it? Works? That's works on our part to repent? What are they saying?
They're saying that Christ died for everybody, and therefore, since he died for everybody, and what Christ does, you know, that God never gets it wrong, okay? In other words, since he died for everybody, everybody would be saved, okay? That's the point. That's what they're saying out there. There's twisting scripture. And that's why I preached on what I was preaching, that here, very specifically, we went through Romans chapter 8, very specifically, he tells you who it was he died for. And that's the reason I did that, because you got more and more of these saying that you don't have to repent.
You just got to show up.
Right. So that's more and more. We're living in the days of the great apostasy. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, read me verses 12 through 15. John, Ron's tired of reading, so he wants you to read 12 through 15.
Well, my vocal cords are almost shot.
Yeah.
We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Did you want me to read more?
No, that's good. Here, when he says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them, that word actually there in the Greek means to recognize. It means to recognize them which labor among you and over you in the Lord, and to admonish. Now, of course, that word admonish means to instruct them, to recognize them and to instruct them in the ways of the Lord, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Here, often when we have people that will call in to the radio program, and they'll call me by my first name instead of calling me Pastor Sanders, they'll do it, but you can tell it's always those that are wanting to be disrespectful, Okay. We know the church polity. We know that as pastors growing up, we always referred to, the younger pastors would always refer to the older pastors as pastors so-and-so, okay? And amongst each other, we could refer each other to our first names, but we showed what that was showing respect, okay? Today, you have so much disrespect, especially for the office of a pastor out there today. And here, now often people would think too, since we've known you, I know what has happened when we've had people that have called in and they called me by my first name, and really the folks in their church were offended, okay? And I understand they don't know any better, but see, this is called, you know, it's church polity, and it's the same thing. Like, I've got several friends that are judges, and I always refer to them as judge, okay, because they have a title. Now, if they're dishonorable people and they're wicked people, you are not supposed to give honor to whom, you only give honor to whom honor is required, right? And, of course, this is one of the things that I'm going to be preaching on this coming Sunday, Lord's willing. What I'm going to be preaching on, I just had it written, okay, is that how should Christians respond to a corrupt government? How should Christians, because you have many pastors that are really not pastors at all, they're more hirelings, they're with a tremendous dearth of courage, so many with such a dearth of courage, they'll tell you, listen, the Bible says, if, you know, even if government's corrupt, you still have to just obey it, even if it's corrupt, because they don't have the courage to tell you what the Word of God actually means, because then their people would expect them to do, just to stand up and be men, be bold. And so we're going to take a very close look at now how to respond to the corruption, John. So we're going to go to a break. When we come back, let's talk about that, like with the FBI and the Department of Justice. We'll be back after this.
In the mountains up near Sandpoint, north of Naples, Idaho, eagles gathered there together to guard the truth so you might know. Down the road that followed Deep Creek, at the turn that crossed the bridge, federal marshals had the roadblock to mark the siege of Ruby Ridge. There the armies of the enemy slayed your bride and only son, nearly killed your close companion when the shrapnel pierced his lung. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. On that evening, late one August, you were forced to take your stand there to strangers as they trespassed, drew first blood on private land. Governor Andrus, back in Boise, he let the enemy tell him lies, and from his anti-Christ decision, Sam and Vicky lost their lives. Federal agents, U.S. Marshals, and FBI men stormed the hill, all on false, fictitious charges, given orders, shoot to kill. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. Though the armies of the enemy may surround us in the night,
There's a host of heavenly angels hovering near, ready to fight. We stand with you, Randy Weaver. We are proud to call you friend. As we gather here together, stand beside you till the end. We stand with you, Randy Weaver, 'cause your Lord and Savior lives. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is. Wheresoever eagles gather, that is where his body is.
Alrighty, we are back. And folks, again, that's what I'm going to be preaching on this Sunday. And because of what has been happening with the corrupt government, we see that they want to go after another 1,200 Christian patriots for the January 6th. Another 1,200 they want to indict and try to haul into to persecute. We have a completely and totally corrupt so-called Department of Justice. It's corrupted. And then we have the FBI. And John, you were on top of this FBI thing way before anybody else was. You were telling us about the corruption within the FBI because you used to work with those guys. And so...
Oh, yeah, Pastor Ernie. I worked with the FBI like in the, the 80s, late 70s, 80s. And, I guess it kind of ended, the early 90s. They were really honorable. They were good guys. They were American patriots and all.
Yeah.
But the new breed came in, Pastor Ernie, and a lot of it had to do with Obama. You know, I think Obama was a plague on the earth, plague on the United States.
Well, you're absolutely right. And we told for 8 years, every day, we were telling people, do you see what he's doing now? Do you see what he's doing now? But it seems like, of course, that was the fake news media would never bring that to people's attention, would they?
Very interesting, Pastor Ernie, because Bill O'Reilly, when he was on, and not only him but others, they would say someone has to get to Obama and tell him that he's wrong and you can't do this and you can't do that. Well, Obama was doing his job.
Yeah, I know that. This is exactly what Biden is doing. People still don't get it. Today, you know, on the news, they had the former Secretary of State, the fellow that's running for, he's running for president.
Pompeo?
Pompeo, yeah. And Pompeo, instead of just coming right out and saying that Joe Biden, okay, is a Chinese puppet. We told people that Joe Biden, because they were wondering, Pompeo was saying, you know, why does he, it almost seems like he's not on our side, see? I mean, instead of coming out and saying, look, what he knows that Joe Biden was bought and paid for by the Chinese Communist Party. He knows this. He knows this.
How could he not know it? He was the head of the CIA.
I know.
Pastor Ernie, how could he not know it?
He does know it, but it's like,
he's afraid to say it.
We don't come right out and say it until we...
How could he not know it? He was the head of the CIA.
No, but we know that he knows it. Remember how O'Reilly used to say, Obama is not up to the job. The job is over Obama's head. And I would say, no, you don't understand. He's doing to this country what no army in the world could do, okay? And we kept showing people, but that went right over O'Reilly's head too, didn't it?
Yeah, so all these talking heads there, you know, and politicians and O'Reilly, and there was many, many others besides O'Reilly, they couldn't see what we saw? It was mind-boggling. And another thing I learned through Obama...
It's not that they couldn't, it's that they wouldn't.
Whatever reason, they wouldn't. But another thing I learned about Obama, if Obama says, okay, with this legislation, you'll be able to keep your doctor, your hospital, and you're going to save $2,500 a year and all, I believe just the opposite. I mean, I learned that through him. Whatever he says, I take the opposite, and in the long run, it turns out to be true.
T- Tucker Carlson did a whole program tonight on Joe Biden's lies. It was amazing. Now, you notice one thing about Joe Biden. When he's getting ready to tell a real big whopper, not just one of his regular lies, but he'll squint his eyes and he'll whisper. When he's getting ready to really... Did you ever notice that?
Man. And then he always finishes up, no lie, no lie.
Yeah.
No lie. Pastor Ernie, there's something that I think I'd pay a mission for this. The that congresswoman from Colorado, I never say her name right.
And you Boebert. Boebert, yeah.
Boebert.
Yeah.
No, maybe it's Green. Maybe it's Congresswoman Green. Between
Green is from Carolina. I think Green is from South Carolina.
Yeah. South Carolina, right. But it's one of those two. They're calling as a witness that woman that's stated for many, 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 many years that Biden raped her.
Yeah, I just found out about that today. Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, they're going to call her to testify before Congress about, and because this has all been suppressed. It's all been suppressed, and what she claims happened. But apparently, she's going to provide more information, evidence, more information. So I really, it's terrible to think the man sitting in the White House will be subjected to this. But I want justice, Pastor Ernie.
Well, the guy that was in there before him, Bill Clinton, we had several women on the radio program that talked about, one of them talked about how he raped her, held her down, bit her on the lip. And held her and raped her, okay? But now, do you know what Biden's defense could be was that he only molests children?
And it's believable.
This is justice, Pastor Ernie. They've protected him and covered for him for decades for this man. So I want to see it aired. I want to see it aired for justice to be brought out. And even I don't expect the Justice Department to do anything, but just that it's brought out so it can't be suppressed any longer and it can get out to the public.
Yeah. Yeah, she deserves her day in court. In fact, I think maybe we might try to get a hold of her, too, and see if she wants to come on here. Of course, I don't think she'll do anything until... boy, you know what? When I think back... on Kathy Ferguson, I don't know if I want to do it after what happened when we had Kathy Ferguson on, and we begged her and begged her to tell everything, because she was going to drop a dime on Clinton, and we said, now that you've said that, because she was going to hold a press conference, tell everything you know right now, right here, get it up, now that you've said that, and she said, no, we're prepared, and Larry Nichols was here, and he says, Kathy, you're not prepared, you don't know what you just did. Listen to what Pastor says. Tell everything you know now or you won't be around for your press conference. And sure enough, guess what happened the next night? She gets a bullet right to the back of the head. So she was one of those that were archicided. So I don't know if I should...
The murderer was never found. Or did she commit suicide? What did they say?
Oh, that yeah. How many women take a gun and put it to the back of their head? To where
maybe she did, Pastor Ernie. I mean, well, you know, to cover for Arkansas, but
yeah.
Did they claim that she committed suicide?
Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's all. It's always the way it is. And the same thing with she was divorcing her husband, and she had a guy that she was going to marry, another a police officer. And she was going to marry, and he said he would not stop until he found out who killed her and brought them to trial. And guess what? He was found on her grave with a bullet in his head, dead. And they said he was a suicide too. There you go.
Pastor Ernie, something really strange is being reported. Did you hear? And I don't know the woman's name. But she's an attorney, and she was involved with the Clintons, and she was in an airplane, and they said there was turbulence, and she died as a result of the turbulence. Have you followed that?
No, uh-uh.
Okay. Well, what happened was today, it came out that there was no turbulence, that the pilot took off some sort of automatic pilot that stabilizes the plane, because these planes are subject to turbulence when there is none. It wasn't a commercial plane. It was a smaller plane with five people in it. And apparently, right as he took it off, she was standing up, and the plane went straight up in the air, and she fell backwards in the plane, hit the back of the plane, and cracked her head, and she died. So she's connected with the Clintons, and now there's... When it came across the news, it said air turbulence, and apparently that's all been said. The media was saying air turbulence, and now it comes out it wasn't air turbulence. It was the pilot did exactly what caused the plane to do it. So there's an investigation now on about why the pilot did this, because the woman died as a result of what he did.
Well, you can pretty much bet that she had something that could bring damage, yeah, to the Clintons. Anyone who could there's over 100 dead bodies, okay, connected with the Clintons, and so that's why they were called the Dixie Mob. And Hillary, who's the one who's, in fact, I had Larry Patterson and Roger Perry, who were Hillary's bodyguards, tell me that it was Hillary that was behind all of that. It wasn't Slick. They said Slick was easy to... All you do is give him some coke and women, and he was easy to get along with. But it was Hillary who was behind. She was the mastermind. And boy, she did not like Kathy Ferguson. And a lot of these people that she didn't like ended up at room temperature. So
she was the one that termed the bimbo eruptions.
Yeah.
Every time someone comes forward.
Yeah,
and then trailer park trash.
Yeah, they would end up with their dogs and cats would get murdered and left on their door and be threatened. Yeah, so
real quick, one thing on Biden we were talking about earlier. There was a judge that just confirmed the authenticity of his daughter's Ashley's diary, so that's actually valid. He's not saying everything in the diary is valid, but that's her diary.
Oh, yeah.
So they just released that, I think, yesterday.
You notice how that she just disappeared into no place where nobody sees her?
Yeah.
They're keeping her away, right? So, anyhow. All right, we got some news articles. Again, as far as the church, I'll be preaching on that message. How should Christians respond to corrupt government? Folks say, you never give the address of your church. Well, here, it's the address of the same address as the radio ministry. And all the other ministries, and Stewards of the Word, 14781 Sperry, that's Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, and the zip is 44065, and we're in Geauga County, folks, in Newberry, Ohio, and we're right on Route 87, about 3 miles east of Route 306, or about 4 miles west of Route 44, on Route 87 and the corner of Sperry Road. Route 87 and the corner of Sperry. And we're right underneath an 800-foot tower. You can't miss it. We're the only church that's under an 800-foot tower out there. And so we started in the morning at 8:30 with an in-depth Bible study. We take it to a little higher level. There's a second Bible study at 9:30. Then the morning service starts at 11:15, and then we have another Bible study at one o'clock, and then we do have one at 4 o'clock, and then the evening service is at 5 o'clock. Got a pretty busy day on Sunday, aren't we?
Yep, it's a full day.
Full day, and aren't we supposed to remember the Sabbath to keep it
holy?
Holy. There you go.
Amen.
So we do that. And
Pastor Ernie, I want to give you an update.
Sure.
I found the article. Headline: prominent D.C. lawyer who served in Clinton administration was not killed by severe turbulence on business jet. Let's see. It said she died earlier this month after traveling on a corporate jet, did not pass away from severe turbulence as originally reported. Donna Hyde, who served the Clinton and Obama administration, was killed while flying over New England in a business jet. The jet was carrying five passengers, made an emergency landing. Hyde, 55, was rushed by ambulance to the hospital in Hartford, but was pronounced dead. Let's see. The FAA originally reported the business jet had severe turbulence. However, an investigation revealed the pilots flipped a switch and disconnected a system used to stabilize the plane.
Well,
she died after the plane turned nose up at several times, and the force of gravity threw her to the back of the plane and fractured her skull or whatever it did. Now, when is the last time you ever heard anything like that, Pastor?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's something like that. I don't think I've ever heard of a plane doing that.
Right.
But there's all kinds of those things.
It's almost like they... You know, this was planned. You know, they were going to take her out, so everybody else is strapped in about except her. And they get the signal she's free sitting or free standing in the plane. They flip the switch. The plane goes straight up in the air. She goes flying backwards, cracks her skull. I mean, anyways, that's another thing. She was connected to the Obamas. There's more to it about her, but I haven't gotten into that.
Well, we were the first people in the entire world to break the Ron Brown case right here. His murder right here on this radio
program. That was another friend of the Clintons.
Yeah, well, he was... Ron Brown had just 2 weeks prior to that said that if... because he was under investigation by five different departments of government, even his own, and he said that that the party better get his back, he said, because if my son and I go down, everybody's going with us right up to the Clintons, including the Clintons. That's what he said. He came out, and that was a... And then the next thing you know, that whole thing with Shelley Kelly, we broke that story, Ron Brown was found with a bullet hole from the top of his head after that wreck. So that was, again, another one of the Arkansides. But also... I'm thinking of Vince Foster. Vince Foster, yeah. that was a real one. His body was found first at the White House, then they moved it over there to Marcy Park. Yeah, but it's like just unbelievable. Only who could ever believe these things? And Fannie Malik, the coroner, they brought him all the way in from Arkansas to proclaim a suicide.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You talk about...
Yeah. The gun that was used, that was found there,
mm-hmm.
It was from World War. It was a 45 ACP, Colt 45, and apparently it was from World War One with the serial numbers all gouged out. So it was untraceable. It was completely untraceable. But some soldier took him home from World War One, and that was the gun he used.
Well, not just that, but we have evidence that he was wrapped up in a rug. They had wrapped him up, taken him out.
Right.
Yeah. Because he would have had to walk all through the mud. There was no mud
on
the bottom
of
his shoes.
Yeah.
And not only that, but if you take a gun... And you do that, you put it to your head, the reaction is that you will fling. That gun will be flung away. It was neatly found right on top of him there. You know, so everything about that whole thing was so funny. But it was like with the Clintons, hey, we don't care, you know, who's gonna charge us, right? We own the Justice Department, we're in charge. And that's exactly what's happening
and
now.
There were witnesses there at the time that they zeroed in the time of the shooting, and they said they didn't hear anything. That they were at the park. They said, we never heard a gunshot.
Yeah. Believe me, when a 44 goes off,
loud.
You hear it. Yeah. All right, what do you have for us, Ron? We're going to do some lightning runs.
All right, this is from the Brits. and these are some horrible numbers, one in every 73 people vaccinated for COVID wound up dead by June 2022. And this is from their own data source, the Office for National Statistics. So if you compare the one in every 73 people died, they were vaccinated. This compared to just one in every 172 unvaccinated people died.
In the same period, yeah.
Yeah, and they all in all, they say some 600,000 people died after getting injected with the vax, which is far more than 109,000 unvaccinated people in England who died at the same time frame. So it comes out to nearly six times as many vaccinated people died in England compared to the unvaccinated.
Well, this is what, again, this is what I'm preaching on. We have such a corrupt government here. That next article you have, they know it outright, and they're still even lying to the people. Even now, they're still telling them to get vax, even though they know the vax is killing people. It should have been the very next article you had there. There was the one that talked about the amount of people just recently. That might be it. Yeah, the doctors.
To withdraw, yeah.
Yeah, you've got 10,000 doctors are telling the CDC,
withdraw
stop the vax.
Withdraw all shots, yep.
Now, today, 10,000 are saying, stop it today, they're killing people. We from the very beginning, before the first person took a shot, we warned them. Before the first person, we told them, don't do it. Don't do it. You know, this is not a vaccine, remember?
Yeah.
And there you go. Go ahead. And
yeah. So this is a group of doctors basically submitted a formal complaint to withdraw all COVID shots from the market immediately. And it's although it's ignored by most of the news media, the CDC's own internal database for documenting reports of vaccine-caused injuries, that's the VAERS system, currently tallies over 34,000 reported deaths related to COVID vaccine-related deaths. And this association is based out of Arizona, and it was founded in 1943, so they've been around a long time, but they give 10 bullet points of why it should be pulled, and hopefully they do it, because it's actually a little too late, but better late than never.
All righty, very good. All right, we're going to be going to a break here in a minute. When we come back, we've got a clip we're going to play, and that has got to do with the reset. The economic reset that what they're bringing our way. We are living in the times that are described very, very clearly in the Word of God. And it's not a time, this is not a time to say, woe is me, woe is me. There's no time to waste worrying about the way things are. This is what I was trying to get across last night to Mike Gill, who we had here on the radio program. Because, Mike had a lot of bad things happening to him, and I understand, and he understands that we're running out, time, and I think John knows that the country might not last two more years. It might not last for another election. And so we have to do something now. But my point of it is this, and everybody's saying, "What is there any hope left?" Well, God's Word, the Bible, gets it real clear. God says he'll fix this thing. He will fix the 2 Chronicles 7:14. God says he'll fix it if the people will, if they want it fixed, if they will pay attention, if they will do what he says, if they will call upon his name, if they will repent and pray and repent and turn around. Well, we'll be back right after this, and I'll intro that song. Be right back with more, so don't go away. Yeah. Let me give it an intro, Craig, before we play it. We'll be right back. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries.
14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.